creation of Poincaré symmetries in the context of quantum Kakwa-Minkowski equivalence realization of space-time. And I will then comment on the fate of Poincaré symmetries at the Planck scale and on the introduction, possible introduction in a cosmological perspective of a quantum de Sitter space-time and with related quantum of Poincaré symmetries. I will give then result on translation and Lorentz sector symmetries transformation and on the recovering of 10 independent conserved quantities and each other independent in this framework of Kappa Minkowski Kappa Poincaré. And then I will give result on quantization of scalar field and interaction theory by means of imposing compatibility with quantum symmetries. There's a charge and then allow to go theory and cosmology. So, first things, let me say that, as we know, there has been various studies supporting the idea in the last years, last decades, that the Planck length could be introduced as a lower bound, could be introduced a lower bound to any distance measurement as a discretization of space-time or as a lower bound on the precision of measurement of space-time distances. If Planck length enter, so the structure of a quantum space-time, something happened to the symmetries of the space-time, so or are they broken or are they deformed? Let us analyze the case in which there is a deformation of Poincaré symmetries, of our space-time symmetries, which could be something that can appear in low energy limits of full theory of quantum gravity. So, a way, context in which is natural to see how modification of symmetries can apply is non-commutative geometry and quantum non-commutative space-time, sorry, and quantum of algebras, which is a mathematical structure in which you can take a Lie algebra and deform it into a Hopf algebra, into a non-trivial Hopf algebra. And this can be done, for example, for the Poincaré algebra, for the algebra of flat space-time. So let's analyze a simple case in one parameter that can be assumed to be proportional to the Planck, scale. But even in other scenarios, some, such as in string theories, has been said in a paper by Witten and Zeiberg. And there are still arguments of the emergence of such deformation of symmetries using quantum of quantum symmetry to describe it in within quantum gravity. So there has been recent result by Fredel and Levine on the fact that also low energy limit of spin form models leads to effective quantum field theory enjoying quantum symmetries. And there have been result other kind of argument for the quantization for the effect for the symmetry of a low energy limit of a quantum theory with the cosmological constant to be a quantum de Sitter of algebra that has been worked with by Amina Gamelia's model instead of Mustad about it. But anyway, a part of this consideration, not merely academic, there is the fact that developing such a context could be useful for constructing models in which to perform a phenomenological analysis of what happened at the first order correction to symmetries, and so to improve to perform a phenomenological analysis of the next. Experimental data coming from astrophysical observatories looking to a high energy cosmic ray and a gamma ray burst. So let me characterize intuitively what I mean for non-commutative space-time and the quantum algebra symmetries. If you take the algebra of function on a commutative space-time, this algebra is commutative, and the action of symmetries on this algebra is, for example, in the representation of derivatives on this algebra of function, clearly satisfy the Leibniz rule. So this and this simple this simple structure. But if we take an algebra of function on a non-commutative space-time, this algebra is non-commutative. And the action of symmetries on it is no more by Leibniz rule, but in respect a kind of deformed Leibniz rule. So it's no more the Leibniz rule, but is a non-trivial coproduct structure. Coproduct is a way to encode by in algebra, in coalgebra, is this structure. And there is a duality. There is a relation between deformation of a space-time algebra of coordinates and deformation of developing algebra of the algebra into a trivial of algebra, and this relation is univoc. Let me now concentrate to one form of deformation of the Poincaré symmetries, that is kappa Poincaré, which is a dimensionful deformation in one parameter that is proportional to the state to be proportional to the Planck length. We can have also other deformation which belong to an non-trivial of algebra. But this is the only one with the dimensionful parameter which is proportional, with one dimensionful parameter which is proportional to a length or to an energy. And it has been shown by Magie de Rueck that this quantum of algebra, non trivial of algebra, acts covariantly on a space which is an infinite dimensional algebra space defined by this relation for the coordinates of one point, while the other commutation relation that define it, the product in it of its element, are vanishing for coordinates of a different point. And in this algebra of space-time, you can construct a function. And for example, a basis for this function can be chosen to be the complex exponential regarded as a Fourier basis. But because of the non-commutativity of the coordinates, now one has to fix normal ordering, to fix the ordering between coordinates. And one can fix, for example, here, an ordering to the right for the time. And once there is a choice of ordering for the coordinates, one can see that there is also a natural way to imposing the classical action of symmetries on, for example, translation symmetries on this complex exponential. There are different bases of the kappa Poincaré algebra acting in a classical way on the same exponential, but ordered in different ways. This is because if you choose a complex exponential in this way, it's an eigenstate of the translation generator. And so the information that you can derive from the product of U of two of complex exponential labeled by Q1 and Q2 is exactly the same information that you can extract from the coalgebraic structure of the translation sector of the kappa Poincaré of algebra. In fact, this non-abelian sum of labels is exactly dual to the non-abelian, is exactly the coproduct of the translation generator. Then if you take another ordering, the classical action of the basis of a translation sector will be encoded by a different basis of translation generators. But this can be seen to be the same complex exponential, so the same function, just with a different ordering. So there are many equivalent descriptions of the same field. So a field can be expanded with any normal ordering in series of complex exponential of Fourier basis. And then because of this possibility of choose a different translation generator, once a normal ordering has been fixed, we can see that there are different possibilities to construct a translation transformation by means of the choice of different bases for the translation sector. So there is an ambiguity in defining, in this sense, translation.
And there is the same ambiguity also for a boost, in which the coproduct structure is highly non-trivial, and there is not any rotation. So what I've done with the Camellia, yes?
Once you fix the normal ordering, you fix all the ambiguity or not?
Once you fix the normal ordering, you have an action of a basis for the translation sector, which is classical if you choose a certain basis for the translation sector. But anyway, you can, no matter about the normal ordering that you have chosen, you have different basis of translation generators.
Now my question was, if you resolve the ambiguity by choosing a normal ordering which resolves the ambiguity for the translations, is there any ambiguity left for the boosts? Or the boosts then?
Okay, I will see.
Another question. Like, what is the purpose of this normal ordering? I mean, in normal quantum field theory, that's the one.
No. Normal ordering, you can see, it's just a word to say here, ordering of coordinates in such a way that, for example, time to direct normal ordering means here that you have all the coordinate, time coordinate to the right, or left ordering, or the coordinate to the left, and it's just a way to say.
Then why do you have to do that?
Because, of course, we have once we have written a function as a function of coordinate, it depends on the way in which the coordinates are on the left, on the right, on which we have written it. Okay. So it's just a way to okay.
Sorry. Yeah. So here, when you say that there is one dx, in fact, you know that on this.
No, okay. I will arrive to this point. Just.
Let's talk about the differential.
Yes. I will arrive to this point. Okay. So with the Leo Camellia and the Leo Sam and the collaborators, we saw a way to remove these ambiguities. And this has been done considering the requiring that. A point could be infinitesimally translated, a point of kappa Minkowski can be infinitesimally translated to another point of kappa Minkowski. So it means the translated point still satisfies the same computation relation. And so it means that these infinitesimal parameters are non trivial in the sense that they satisfy computation relation with the coordinates x mu, which are non vanishing but non trivial. And we insisted on the Leibniz rule to have another analysis of the symmetries associated to this quantum of algebra of Poincaré. And we can see that restricting our choice to one of the possible one of the possibility of differential calculus, because there is also another way we can also here we have taken a four-dimensional differential calculus. There is a discussion still vivid of which differential calculus can be used in these non-Fermi space times. The choice of differential calculus is not unique. In fact, it may be possible to answer to these two requirements with a five-dimensional differential calculus. And the interest to see this five-dimensional differential calculus is the covariance under these algebras of symmetries. But we have seen for the first time this how this can work with a four-dimensional differential calculus, and we arrived to define ambiguously a differential infinitesimal translation on a function independent from a wide class of bases, and on it we have done a physical characterization by an analysis of a theory of scalar field classical, which is described by this equation of motion, which is deformed in the sense that instead of the standard Casimir, we used this deformed Casimir. Sorry. And then we have in this we have then obtained for yeah.
So two questions. What is the deformed Casimir?
This is the deformed Casimir, and after I will show its form in one basis in the next slide.
Okay, so.
And this is a massless kind of.
Fine, so can you go back one slide?
But, you know,
yeah. Yeah. Well, you work on the field operator at some point.
You mean I'm using.
No, no, go for it. So at the bottom, I think with the previous slide, you've had the field operator. Yeah, fields on Minkowski space.
Okay.
So this is the form Casimir, do you still write just D4Q for the measure?
Sorry?
So the so maybe this is too technical a question, but in the field, in the expansion of the field operator,
yes.
The bottom line, is that D4Q just the standard D4Q? The integration measure?
Ah, you mean this kind of integration measure?
Yeah.
Well, these parameters are commutative, but belongs to a curved momentum space.
Right. So the momentum space is curved. Is that the?
Yes. This is. You can also think that here can be a non-trivial measure for the integration.
But you can choose it.
That's a formal way of writing. There could be non-trivial factors.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So with this analysis, we have found four independent and coordinate independent quantities, and the same quantities as Mirogoyev, Magnier, and Nigueira. In a work enjoying synthetic geometry characterization of the symmetries by means of a Poisson map, we have used this Poisson map to define, to go from the space of solution of the standard Klein-Gödel equation to the space of solution of the default Klein-Gödel equation. And we have defined in this case a synthetic structure. And we have recovered with this synthetic analysis, the same conserved charge related to translation, and we had also in the product. In another work with Merino Camelia and the collaborators, we have analyzed the rotation transformations, even in this Gaffa-Poincaré-Kapitonsky framework, and the Boost transformations, and we have seen that. Rotation, just last ago, there is nothing non-trivial that can be introduced in this rotation transformation, because, if you see the algebra has got in different bases for the translation sector has got the same trivial algebraic sector. And if it is in a parameter, still commutative the x mu and non ambiguity emerge, and we have three independent conserved charges. Boost translation is not trivial because we have a non trivial action of boost translation on the function, and we have a non trivial action, and we have a non trivial deformed coalgebra sector. And if one uses the tools that I've shown above, that the infinitesimal parameter acts by associative multiplication on the x mu coordinates, it's not possible to make a pure boost transformation. But if one still requires that the infinitesimal parameters act by associative multiplication, one has to consider the Lorentz sector infinitesimal transformation. With the infinitesimal parameter for boost and rotation, which do not commute with coordinates. And in this case, it's possible to perform another analysis, even with the three coordinate independent and each other independent conserved quantity. All these quantities for rotation, boost, and translation are each other independent. And a little intermission to see that what's interesting in these kappa Minkowski Poincaré scenarios came from the neurological side. It goes from the deformed structure of the Casimir. It can be inferred a kind of deformation of our energy momentum dispersion relation. And this can lead to testable prediction, for example, time of flight of photons from gamma ray bursts. But the ambiguity affecting the translation sector
this ambiguity affect also this phenomenological analysis, because as you can see, the form of the gas is different from four different bases of generators. This is a basis which is related to the of generators which acts classically to the function ordered with the time to the right, and this is called Majid-Drouet. It is the Majid-Drouet Bayes product basis, but different bases has got different form of the same gas. And so with the analysis I've shown before, this ambiguity has been removed, but with the choice of differential calculus, as Laurent said. And so discussion is limited on this possibility to choose different differential calculus, because it's not no more unique, even, at least for this deformation of the Minkowski space. We can see that in another deformation, which is motivated by some studies in string, that is the Della Minkowski deformation, the differential calculus is unique, and the ambiguity do not appear. And so with this removal of ambiguity for a class of transformation, class of quantum transformation between translation sector operator, we can define charge, another charge, which are ambiguous in this sense. But this has been done for classical field, not for quantum field. So the next step is to go to quantum field. And there has been an attempt by me and Miguel Arzan of making it by means of canonical quantization. The main assumption is that the Hilbert space of the theory consists of a deformation in kappa of the standard Hilbert space of the theory. And in this sense, just looking for the solution of the deformed triangle of an equation by a complexification of the solution, we have made the complexion of this complexified space of solution by means of the inner product that we have recovered by means of the symplectic geometry analysis of symmetries. And now, as usual, we have to restrict to the positive energy mass shell, but more, to have a positive defined inner product, we have to restrict to the absolute value of the spatial Fourier parameter that are smaller than kappa, where kappa can be assumed to be proportional to the Planck energy. This is consistent with the symmetries, because in this picture, in this framework, Boos, for example, saturated the Planck at the Planck scale at kappa, the kappa Poincaré symmetry is made in such a way that kappa is that is the deformation parameter is still a quantity invariant. And by means of this analysis, one can then consider consider a normalized basis of plane waves in this Hilbert space constructed, which are still eigenstate of the translation sector generators, and one can characterize this Hilbert space by means of relation or annihilation operators and by means of vacuum state single out in this basis. Yes?
So this restriction to the positive definite subspace of the Hilbert space is invariant under the action of the kappa Poincaré algebra. Is that correct?
Yes. Okay.
And it's the same inner product that you displayed a few transparencies ago.
The
inner product is the same as the inner product. You displayed at some point an inner product.
Yes, 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 yes.
It's
yes.
The same inner product.
And after the construction of the one factor Hilbert space, we have constructed the factor Hilbert space by acquiring the compatibility with symmetries. And now this compatibility involves the algebraic structure that is non-trivial in this of algebra's context. And then
the tensor product of two parti- of one particle of the one particle per state has now an eigenvalue that is no more the abelian summation rule between parameters, but it's an abelian summation rule. And then the symmetrization encode this compatibility with the new symmetries, and then one has to look for momentum labels that are no more the standard fit between momentum labels. And there is a unique way to see for this symmetrization, in which I underline it appears kappa, the deformation parameter. It appears something that can be taken to be proportional to the Planck energy.
And so is your pinion supposed to be your another charge, or this equation is the definition of what you call pinion?
I don't understand. So pinion is a translation sector generators. But I mean, after the ones of charge. No, not exactly.
So where is it?
It's a translation generator acting on the state.
Is it defined in terms of the field, or
after I will arrive to the concept charge in a moment?
The line you wrote down is not a definition of the state. The definition of what pnu is. The third line, pnu action.
No, I'm looking for states which are eigenstate of pnu.
Yeah, what is pnu?
Pnu. Ah, okay. So. Okay, so pmu can be defined under the action of the one particle sector, and can be defined because the one particle sector are eigenstate of the Klein-Gordon equation, and are defined to be eigenstate of pmu.
Okay, but that's for one particle state. So for two particle states, this is the definition of pmu.
No, this is not a definition. This comes out from the representation of pmu on the tensor product.
Well, usually you write pmu as an operator, you know, in terms of creation and annihilation operator, and then you will check whether this is true or not.
No, it's consistent with the action on the representation of the action of pmu, which is defined for one particle state, on the tensor product of two.
Yeah, but the question is there an operator that satisfies that? And then what is this operator?
It's pmu. It's pmu because pmu has got the non-trivial of algebra structure. It's exactly the one that has got this.
Yeah, but now you want to realize this operator at the quantum level. So you would like to realize this operator as a function of creation and annihilation.
No, at one particle level, it's just a derivative.
And then you define the tensor product. At one particle, it's defined on one state. But now you want to extend pmu to multi-particle states. And a priori, you define it to be extended in that way. So that's a definition at this stage.
I think that is consistent with the presentation. But
what happened? Is the question here maybe so that maybe the calculation is done by just using the co-product structure of the two particle states? Maybe then your question is, can now you realize that operator in terms of the fields?
Yes.
So maybe later on he's going to try. So if I understand, maybe here you're just using the definition of P that comes from the co-product structure, and then later you want to show if you can realize something that does that for you, written in terms of phi's or.
Because usually you don't have any choice. I mean, usually you have pmu, which is your another charge, and it's written in terms of the field. So at the quantum level, you take this as an operator, and you act on your states, and you see what is the, you know, you look at what is exactly the action. You can't postulate it.
Right? So this is the synthetic geometry, the analysis of the.
That's a real point all around. Anyway, in the quantum theory, net charge and the generator of similarities are two different objects. And then You need, so you need to prove that these two things coincide, and then can be proven only like under certain assumptions, including the locality and so on. So here, so there are two different things, and here like there is a construction of the representation of the algebra of the CBG, but maybe we can postpone this. Yeah, sure.
But that's the key one.
Sorry. No, if we could carry.
Okay.
Good letter.
Let me give now some analysis on the concept charge associated to this construction of quantization of field theory on interacting. And this can be done, okay, once we have the Fock space, we can expand one field in terms of on the basis of the particular space. Write it in terms of creation relation operators, and then substitute in it into the relation that we have for the conserved charges by means of the Grassmann relation that we had by means of the synthetic geometry analysis. And then if we make the mean value of a state of one particle state, we can see that the energy momentum dispersion relation for these quantum charges, for these conserved charges associated to this quantum state, the space, has got a dispersion relation which is modified. And this momentum space, this momentum dispersion part of the conserved charges is, it turned out to be exactly the Fourier parameters, the spatial Fourier parameters. And we can see that there is this dispersion relation, so the momentum, the spatial momentum saturated at Planck scale for the energy that goes to the field. And after we have also this vacuum energy, which turned out to be finite, but this of the same order of the vacuum energy calculated in standard quantum field theory.
So here maybe you answer my question. There was this operator P mu before, and now there's this operator Q mu, and they are different.
Yes, but
because Q mu doesn't satisfy the relation. Yes.
But why they should be the same things?
Well, usually they are the same things.
But usually it's not a reason to see that they should be the same things.
Well, usually I would then look only at Q mu. I mean, the other thing is,
it's not trivial. I think it's not trivial. It's an trivial aspect because working with this non-combinatorial space time and quantum of algebra, you see that a lot of things that are usually the same things are not the same things.
Yeah, but I mean, Q mu is uniquely defined from the theory. Now, P mu, you can always define any weird operator that acts in any weird way on multi-particle states arbitrarily, right?
No, okay.
You have to do something to show that this other operator, P mu, is physically more interesting than this one.
Okay.
But we are at least coinciding the limit K goes to infinity, so when you...
Of course, this is the limit.
That's
it? Yeah. Okay, I will talk about these things later, okay. So let me pass now to further motivation for these studies of non-commutative space-times.
Before you do, just can you underline the conclusions? Because the two key conclusions are at the bottom. So the energy momentum dispersion relation is modified. So is this enough to have a prediction of, for example, an energy dependent speed of light?
Yes.
You need to do
more. Yeah. You mean for this prediction, the speed of light depends on the energy.
Yeah.
You make well. Till now, it has been done a group velocity analysis of for recovering a speed dependent an energy dependent speed of light.
Right, but as you said, I mean, there were many issues and objections, and what does translation mean, and what does distance mean, and non-commutative geometry. Do you now have enough, since you have it in terms of the nether charges? Is
what?
It sufficient to really tell the experimentalists that you have an energy?
No, of course not. And this is the first attempt to construct these things, but the correspondence of this concept charge after with the things that the experimentalists would see, it's not so clear. So it's something that it has been discussed more.
It's a
problem that just begin.
And at this stage, this is a choice. You just come at some point, you choose a differential calculus. There are many others, and there are many others for which this is not true. So it's put by hand. So it's not a consequence.
That's fine. But
it's not a consequence of the theory. It's a consequence of what you decide the theory to tell you.
So this is a theory.
This is a theory.
It's a model. It's not that you put it inside.
I think that
there is other theories.
It's just that there is another way to think about translation invariance.
I think that different choice of differential calculus just lead to different theory, physical theories in equivalent.
Why? This is the same axis.
Oh, it can be seen in
space. This is the same.
Sure.
Okay, so let me give some more motivation for the application of these studies, for example, in cosmology. There has been recently this idea of using inflation with this energy dependent speed of light as a way to achieve an inflation mechanism. It has been done in this first attempt. It has been done taking the relation which defines the dispersion relation at that scale, which comes from flat space time analysis, and they are just used in a curved space time case. But one thing that could be interesting should be to see which is the interplay between the curvature and the Planck length inducing this non-commutative approach to the inflation problem. And the first very realistic analysis I tried with Amerino Gamelia when I was undergraduate to consider this point of the introduction of a quantum deformed de-Sitter of algebra of symmetries as a way to see if it could be this interplay between the curvature and Planck scale in cosmology or perspective. And there is an interest to do it because there was this work by Amelino, Smalling, and Starobuster underlying that the low energy limit of quantum gravity theory with the cosmology on constant has got this of algebra of symmetries that is quantum de Sitter. And there is a non-linear contraction limit of it, taking a relation which comes from the theory that links H, which is the square root of the effective cosmological constant, and the Planck length. One can see that the limit for the curvature, which is H much smaller than the Planck length, is not Poincaré algebra, but is a deformation of the Poincaré algebra. So it's this couple Poincaré algebra. Exactly the basis that I've shown before for the choice, for the assumption of the type, the right ordering of the functions. And taking this relation with the studies, first studies with Melina, we showed that a semi-classical analysis of the deformed path of a photon in this quantum de Sitter space it's increase exponential in Z, and in Z there is the curvature. So in this sense, going toward the singularity, there is an exponential growth of the path of the photons. This is just a way to suggest that to understand better and to go on in this analysis, even for other cases, other realization of quantization of space-time, such as the Sitter, quantum de Sitter, could be interesting in other studies. So, conclusion, actually, yeah, physical characterization of the Poincaré transformation and Poincaré symmetry is related by another analysis. I've shown some results on the construction of space for an non-interacting theory. The next stage will be to analyze an interacting theory. Because also of the interest that come out from some quantum gravity models, especially from some string form models. And there are further development, there can be further developments in the quantization scheme that I've introduced, because it can be generalized also to a context in which the landscape could be introduced into the Hoover effect, study of the Hoover effect, or into the Hawking effect. And there are also some consequences, phenomenological consequences of this, these are the quantization of stellar field, which has to be studied. So, which is the momentum, the energy momentum, and what to which correspond is this non-trivial deformation, symmetrization at the Planck scale, which are the consequences, even for the statistics. And so, in the end, there are a lot of studies that have to be done for developing application to cosmology. So, thanks. So.
In the standards, the generic inertia analysis, symmetries give rise to a continuity equation. To go from a continuity equation to a charge, you need to introduce boundary conditions. And I just wondered whether the deformed nature of the space-time and the non-commutativity of the coordinates creates any complications in applying the boundary conditions that you need to get a charge, to get noted charges. Secondly, I wondered why the noted charges were, is there some reason why they're put as momentum intervals rather than spatial intervals? As in the usual case.
So the first question is, of course, there are non-trivial contributions from the boundary condition. And this is a technical, high technical problem to see, especially when analyzing the conserved charge associated with boost. The other question was, sorry?
I mean, is there some reason why you first momentum intervals? Express the charge as momentum rather than spatial.
Yes. The reason is that there is a. Well, the surcharge are obtained as an integral on the coordinates, but fields after they are described as a sum on the Fourier parameters.
The covariant.
But the question is, you could have written, you could write the conserved charges in position space.
In that?
In terms of the position field operators.
Yes, yes.
Any more questions?
Thanks, speaker.